radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Well, after all the hype this weekend, and we hope the Houston Astros will be adding Blake Snell to the roster, to the rotation, they're not. Paul, Joe, and Sean here with you. Gallant and George, 12 to 3. Blake Snell signed a deal with the San Francisco Giants. 2 years, $62 million. That's a lot of money. It's less than what was reported the asking price was. Not by much. It's a semantics thing here a little bit. We're talking like $3, $4 million. But, Paul, the Astros miss out on Blake Snell. And I want to start with Jim Crane because he seems to be catching the most frustration amongst Astros Twitter, that people are very upset that they did not pay Blake Snell.
Are you upset?
I'm not.
I'm not either. I wish I wasn't upset. Maybe it's because I feel there's still a chance that they get Jordan Montgomery or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't go that route. But I feel like the aggression that Jim Crane showed this offseason in immediately signing Josh Hader after Kendall Graveman got hurt, I'm not sure it would be wise for him to follow up another injury, even if you, Joe, think that we might not see Jose Urquidy the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Fair, at least, thought in the back of your head. Would it be wise for him to be reactionary twice and perhaps overpay twice, especially if it could mean the end of Alex Bregman or another Houston Astros time in Houston in the not-too-distant future? We all want to think about the short term. You do have to think about the long term, though. And I think over this run, the Astros have done a very good job of balancing the two of those, but specifically thinking about the big picture more often than the now.
And the reason why, I think the Snell versus Hader are so different just because of what you have internally, right? You have Who's your sixth inning guy right now? If Christian Javier only gives you five innings, who are you going to in the sixth?
It's a great question right now. I think that when guys are healthy, you'll have a better feel for it.
Yeah.
You could use some of the starters that are no longer in the rotation. Maybe that's JP France again, or it's Ronel Blanco. But yeah, right now, you got a lot of questions to answer. And also, don't forget, too, at the first two games of the year, the Astros are going to have 25 guys on the roster because Brian Abreu is suspended.
Yeah, so you don't know who's going to be your sixth inning guy. So if you didn't have Josh Hader, you wouldn't know who's your seventh inning guy. You would only have your eighth and ninth. Now, so that's why that signing, to me, the urgency, the dollar amount, all of that makes more sense just logically for the Astros than Blake Snell, because in theory, you still have maybe Urquidy. You still have Garcia. You still have McCullers. You have Spencer Arrighetti, who's pitched pretty solid so far in spring training. You have Hunter Brown, who Joe Espada said he could be a number one if he takes the next step. You have depth. You have Ronel Blanco, who a lot of people like. The point is, the depth rotation is way better than the bullpen depth.
But there's a asterisk of hopefully eventually having depth. Yeah,
that's true.
That's what makes it a little bit uneasy, I imagine, for a lot of people out there. And as brought up on our Twitch, you do wonder also about who's the first starter in your rotation. Framber Valdez, okay.
Yep.
Christian Javier. But after that, you are looking at it with a bit of a side eye or a raised eyebrow, because right now, the depth, which at some point this year could be incredible, does not exist.
It does not right now. But it's good enough right now where I don't think you had to overspend on Blake Snell the way you had to on Hader. If you start the season with Framber, Javier, Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco, Spencer Arrighetti, JP France, five of those six guys, I feel okay. It's not great. It's not a World Series staff, but that's where the hopes and dreams of 6 months into the season or whatever, 3 months into the season, when you get to June and July, that those issues will start to fix themselves. Justin Verlander will be in this rotation by April 15th, April 30th, probably the absolute latest. So you're missing at most
a month of games from JV. You're going to get those other guys back, you hope, at least one of them in Luis Garcia, I'm confident in, that you will see pitch for the Astros this year. Are you more confident that you'll see Arcady or Lance McCullers right now? Oof.
I think I have to say McCullers. I'm with you in that. I hear forearm strain, and I'm not feeling great.
I don't feel great either. So that's why I'm okay that they pass on Snow. I would have liked it. I think it would have made them better. It would have made them an even better World Series contender this year. But they have enough right now to where they're okay, and Jim Crane didn't have to overreact in this way. And if that's what Blake Snell's getting, it's not going to be what Jordan Montgomery gets. It's not going to be what Michael Lorenzen gets. And those are probably your next two names that you're looking at in free agency. They're still out there.
Those are the two targets left. Interesting question about Montgomery on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston from Stephen Hill, who says, I think Crane already knows Bregman is gone. Too many years, too much money. Tucker will be the focus. So I say sign Montgomery, says Stephen, if he doesn't insist on too many years. Is that what they should be thinking about doing? Do you look at Alex Bregman right now as someone who's probably not going to come back? Because I know, Joe, over the last couple of weeks, you've brought up that you don't think that Bregman's going to get the deal that he's looking for.
Yesterday proved it again. Scott Boras is washed. He's washed.
He's going to sue you for slander.
Look at his offseason. Cody Bellinger got the longest contract in 3 years. He's misplayed all of his players.
How does Scotty get his groove back?
Hopefully not with Alex Bregman and the Astros with a 10-year deal. But
I mean, yeah, because Jose Altuve, that deal was very, very Astros-friendly. Yeah.
It's just these.
It's the best second baseman in baseball.
Yeah, Scott Boras is washed. Like, Cody Bellinger, 3 years, $80 million with opt-outs. Blake Snell, 2 years, $62 million with opt-outs. So Matt Chapman, 3 years, $54 million with opt-outs.
If you throw an insulting offer at Scott Boras right now, is he down so bad that he'd take it?
No, he's not.
Does he have the 2 a.m. drunk goggles on and he's like, oh, well, money's money, you know, and I just want to just get all in that bag of money.
I wish they could, but no. Alex Bregman will hit free agency, and he will be a free agent on March 10th, 2025 still. Because I don't know what Scott Boras is doing. I think he still believes that the 10-year, $300 million contracts are just out there for everyone. And they're so clearly, they're not. I feel great. I think Alex Bregman's going to be back with the Astros.
Just heard it here from Joe George. Scott Boras, bitch. I didn't say it. Yep. I can't believe you said it.
Yeah.
I'm just interpreting it for the simple folk.
I'm okay
there.
With that. I support that message.
Joe George thinks
my name
Scott
is Joe
Boras,
George, and I support this message.
Scott Boras is washed. That it does feel that way, though. It really does.
Yeah.
That's all he got for Blake Snell. The guy won the Cy Young twice, right?
Yes. And those are and they're high value contracts, but there's no stability. And the idea that all these guys are going to opt out again after 1 year and all hit free agency at the same time again, and like next offseason is going to go so much better for them. How? It's just not. So I'm okay with this. I would have liked Blake Snell. Blake Snell would have made this team an even better World Series contender in the short term and in the long term. But the sky is not falling. So no, I'm not mad at Jim Crane.
What if they don't get Jordan Montgomery? What if they don't get another arm? Where are you at?
Yeah, that is... I still feel okay because I still believe in Justin Verlander. I still believe in Fromber for the most part. And
Javier for the most part.
I believe in Javier more than I believe in Fromber. I don't know if that's a bad take or not. But.
No, I feel you on that. I think that when Javier is on his A game, it's better stuff.
Yeah.
But Fromber is a guy that, at least in the recent past, has shown he's more consistent than Javier.
100%.
The problem was just it wasn't last year.
Yeah, and Christian Javier is obviously his biggest issue is that oftentimes his pitch count's so high, he only gives you five innings.
He's a lot like Blake Snell.
Yeah.
I mean, Snell is one of those other guys who he's going to walk some people. He led the majors in walks last year. So that's a reason to walk away from the idea of paying that guy $30-plus million a year. I am with you in that. I am not going to crush Jim Crane for not signing off on that. I'm not going to crush Dana Brown for not making it happen. And I would understand the reasoning if they don't sign Jordan Montgomery or the other player, other pitcher that
Michael
you mentioned.
Lorenzen.
If they don't sign Michael Lorenzen either, I don't think I'm going to get mad because conceptually they have depth down the road. But there is a lot of wishful thinking right now with depth in the Astros going forward, especially when you consider the other new wrinkle for the Astros this coming season.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating season with this rotation, with the bullpen. But I mean, maybe part of this for me, Paul, is that it is Abreu, Hader, and Presley. It takes away some of the stress of the rotation, that if this offense can perform to, somewhere in the mix of what they did on the road versus at home last year and just be pretty competent at all times, which we all know they're capable of being, they can keep Blanco and Arrigetti in games and get you to the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning to where your bullpen can shut the door and you can find a way to grind out games throughout the year. So that's why I still feel positive overall.
I got you on that. The other wrinkle is Espada being in as new manager. And I think based off of just some of the things that you've heard from him and some of the actions of spring training, it does feel like Espada, right now at least, is going to be less of an off-day giver, if that makes any sense. It feels like, compared to Dusty Baker, where it felt like you had a rotating wheel of, wait, why are two guys out of the lineup today? Feels that there'll be less of that, which also could lend itself to depth issues, theoretically, if guys are worn down by the end of the year. Because that's the thing that Dusty's done, I think, the best the last couple of seasons. I think Dusty managing players' innings and pitchers' innings has led to them being as fresh as possible for the end of the year, especially considering that basically over the last 7 years, the Astros have played, probably like half a season, maybe even a little more, with all these postseason games that they've been in. So now you got to wonder if, in addition to the lack of depth that you have right now, that Espada is going to ask for more out of these players and pitchers, and if that potentially has a side effect down the road.
I mean, I'm curious how Espada will handle, the younger arms, because he's still going to keep in mind about, pitch counts and all that stuff. I don't think the off days are going to be as frequent within the lineup.
Dubon, who's tearing it up in spring training, It does seem like he will be playing regularly. He should be playing regularly.
I think he will.
He's hitting right now.
Yeah. Because the thing about Dubon,
the team at the beginning of the year.
Last year. He was incredible for Altuve the whole first part of the season.
It was insane. I was like, wait, what?
He was unreal.
Acquired mass Mauricio.
Mauricio Dubon was the guy that people were talking about, why is he even on this team last year in spring training? Not everyone. I like Mauricio Dubon, but I was just over the whole personal center fielder thing that they tried the year before.
The valet.
It's such a weird thing that Dusty Baker did.
I like the weird idiosyncrasies of pitchers, though. It's like, oh, you've got to have Mauricio Dubon.
I think that was a Dusty thing, though.
It probably was.
I can't imagine Justin Verlander. Catcher, yes. Want Maldi, always. But the idea that he was going to ask for Dubon surprises me.
I only like the idiosyncrasies from pitchers if they're like Justin Verlander.
That's fair.
If they're good.
What's your ball?
Have some Fromber, pelts
on the
though?
Is Fromber good
have
enough?
Have some pelts on the walls.
Fromber has some
be a future of, Hall of Famer.
Fromber, World Series champion. Fromber Valdez. I mean, they wear specific jerseys that Fromber wants to wear.
I think he could have done it in 2022. I think it's taken away. Like him being able to call his own pitches. Taken away from him.
That's one thing early on that I like about Espada. I like how he took that away from him right away.
I like both parts of it. Willing to try stuff and willing to be like, nope.
Yeah. Like the immediate everyone knows this. If you have a boss, people make mistakes. They make bad hires. They make bad decisions. And then you have to pivot right away. You have to change something that doesn't work. And that didn't work. It was one spring training start, and it was clearly a disaster. And they got rid of it.
I hope that the side effect of that, though, or the consequence of that, isn't Fromber Valdez pulling a Chris Sale at some point and cutting up a jersey.
Which jerseys?
I wouldn't mind if he cut up the Space City ones.
I don't love them.
I don't really like the Space City ones. I like the orange ones. And I can't believe they haven't worn the Tequila Sunrises in as long as they haven't. When was the last time they wore those things? It's been a hot minute.
They wore
the Tequila Sunrise jerseys are their best unis, and they never wear them. And I saw people were thinking about bringing back the blue and gold or bringing back the disgusting brick red crap. No. Give me the tequila sunrise.
Did they like lose the copyright to the tequila sunrise?
Good question.
I can't remember them wearing it as like
no, because it's
a
always
throwback.
It's always a giveaway.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't remember them actually wearing it as a throwback, and there is really no excuse for that.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time. It's been a while. I can't imagine they've done it recently. The Phillies wear their old school jerseys, which I like.
Those baby blue jerseys are nice. Everyone has a baby blue jersey now.
That's what I don't like, is that every team has a baby blue jersey now.
Well, got bad news for the Texans jerseys when they all come out. We got jerseys yesterday.
We did.
We'll get to that later in the show. But it's time for a new segment we're going to try. The Texans have added Mario Edwards Jr. to the defensive line, but there are still free agent names to be had. It's time for Texans Tinder. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Some pushback from the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning conversation we're having there towards the end of the segment, because a text here from 8437, it was literally Neris or Brady Presley last year. Adding Hader is great, but to say that's light years better than last year, I wouldn't say so. I don't think I said light years. It is better, though. Brian Presley is one of the best closers in baseball, and he's your 8th inning guy now.
You will miss Neris, largely because the Hector Neris show wasn't just about the pitching, but Hader is an upgrade over Neris.
He does.
So I am with you in that it's an upgrade. I don't think you said light years either.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think I said light years. I hope I didn't say light years, because if I said light years, that's wrong.
And if you said light years and I didn't hear it, then I'm guilty of, once again, doing something that I often did to Sean on the Paul Gallant show, which was not listen. Yeah.
Oh, is that something that happens?
Sometimes I do.
It's okay.
I'm getting better.
It's the funniest thing about sports radio is how often we don't listen to each other.
Yeah,
on
I'm
the
working
air.
On myself. I am trying to be the best teammate I can be, to quote Arian Foster, who said that like 17 times in one press conference.
Try only saying it once.
I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be.
Are you trying to send a message now?
I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be.
Are you upset about how the show's gone
just
so far?
Just trying to be the best teammate I can be.
Okay.
I hope he gives a better answer to that off the air. So. Texans free agency. All the big names are done. They brought in Mario Edwards today. So another pass rusher. Another low-level signing it's not going to make the Texans a Super Bowl contender. But it's more depth. And when you let go Sheldon Rankins, who we'll get to a little bit later in the show because he seems to take some shots at the Texans. But Mario Edwards is a good depth piece for this team. With the Nico Autry, you know, with Will Anderson, with Daniil Hunter. It's good depth for this team. So I like the move. It doesn't prevent them from doing anything in the draft, so it's fine with me.
Defensive tackles, safeties, corners, these are really the only names I want to hear. Maybe interior offensive linemen as well. Mario Edwards, to my knowledge, is more of an edge guy, so I'm not pushing back on it. Hey, if you add more and more depth on the edge, good. You need waves, but you also need waves in the interior. And you don't really have that right now.
Safety is an interesting one because
they've done nothing. I don't even think there's been a name linked to them yet.
Is that just not a signal to you, Paul, that they're good? That they feel comfortable with that Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie?
It probably is. And I mean, that might be a mistake. That might be D'Amico Ryan saying, well, he's my guy and I would like him to stick around for another year. But I mean, they got beat deep a lot. And safety, that's your job. That's your one job. Don't get beat over the top.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't addressed the position, because even a guy like Kareem Jackson is a free agent again, so they haven't even brought him in. But you have Justin Simmons, Eddie Jackson, Quandre Diggs, all available. So we're gonna play a new game today. We're going to play Texans Tinder. We're going to do this two times throughout the show. And so what are our options here? Swipe right, which is a good thing if you're an old and don't know what Tinder is.
Swipe right and or swarm.
So swarm. And then not Texans worthy means that we're not interested.
We're swiping left.
All right, well,
you're uggo.
So Quandre Diggs.
Oh, I'm not just swarming. I am
super swarming.
Super swarming, because you can do that on these apps. There's a button you can press to super like somebody.
Isn't that kind of creepy?
No, it's not, because you jump to the front and the hotties, out there are getting bombarded with super likes generally. So you got
to
stand
out. But
you're
not really jumping to the front.
Yeah, but you're
bombarded.
Jumping to,
it's just like
you're
inflation.
You're jumping to more of a front. Again, I'm off the apps. Don't make me get back on them to experiment. Only there, to...
So there's the swipe right. Mm-hmm. There's the super like.
Correct.
And that's what you get on the front of the line.
Correct.
And but they're getting bombarded with super likes. Is there then like an ultra light?
Probably.
Where you can get on the top, go first.
Because like, you have to like pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah. These apps want to make extra money.
Pay $3
so
to be the first person she swipes left on.
Right. They make tons of money off of this. These are new features they added. It used to just be swipe right, swipe left. Nope. Now you can pay to try and game the system.
All right, so Quandre Diggs is in our pool still for players we would like to see the Texans add at this point in free agency.
Swarm all over that.
We'll stick with safeties here for a second.
Okay,
Eddie Jackson.
Eh, I'll swipe left.
Okay,
he is not Texans worthy.
Why?
I don't know. I just okay. It's not. You know what? When I say that,
I know it makes
sounds
me immediately
like slander.
It makes me feel like immediately like he did something wrong.
You know what?
And he didn't. But
I'm just gonna say swipe left. Yeah. This isn't.
He's not new Texans worthy.
This isn't Joe Mixon in 2014.
Yeah. Correct.
On the field, Texans worthy.
Yeah.
I have very little opinion on Eddie Jackson, so right. I will default to swipe left.
Yeah, we're gonna go left. He wasn't good for the Bears last year. Justin Simmons, last safety.
Swipe left. He's gonna be too much.
Still?
I think it'll be too much. I think he's going to be the highest paid safety. Huh. Seems like everyone likes him. And I would imagine that means it's going to be 12, 13, 14 million a year or something like that.
Huh. I would still say swipe right. He's a swarm guy for me. Because at this point, for agency, there's not a lot of money to go around still. So I would imagine he's kind of missed his market.
I gotcha. Until Quandre Diggs is off the market, I'm swiping left on every single safety.
Fair. Sean, you got to break the tie.
His market, his like SpotTrack calculated market value is $11 million per year.
Okay.
Mm.
So are you swarm or not Texans worthy?
I'll swarm.
Okay. So we've added Justin Simmons.
You can't put all your eggs in the Quandre Diggs basket.
Yes, you can.
That's true.
Yes, you can. I am putting all my eggs in the Quandre Diggs basket.
Okay.
Happy Easter.
I'm willing to, you know, see some other people. Swipe right on some other people.
Oh. Freak.
Yeah,
cornerback.
Play the field.
Let's do a cornerback. 6517 right away says bring Quandre Diggs home. Paul loves that idea.
Yeah.
I love that idea too. Just give him the opportunity to beat out one of the safeties. I think that's what they need. It's not just a depth piece. They should be bringing in a player that has a chance to compete with Ward and Petrie. And you just figure out the safety room. You put the best two safeties on the field.
There's a chance that these people could start.
Yeah. Because first of all, Jimmy Ward won't be on the field. I like Jimmy Ward, but he's doing so much PR right now to make people like him again.
Another reason to bring in Quandre Diggs? Guess who his best friend is?
You?
Tyler Lockett.
Oh.
I like Tyler Lockett. 9062 gives a suggestion. We'll throw this person in. Jamal Adams.
No.
Not Texans worthy.
No.
See ya, buddy.
Not Texans worthy, in fact.
Take those, what's it called? Take those armbands with you.
Yeah, been there and done that. He is he's very sensitive, and he's very only in the box. Like, you can't use him anywhere else.
Nice.
Always in that box.
Good for regular tender.
Loves box.
Texans.
Cornerback, is that your next position of need for the Houston Texans right now in the offseason?
Yeah, because, I mean, Jeffrey Okuda, you can't.
It's not enough.
I don't want him out there yet. He has to earn all of our trust. It's his third team.
Lonnie Johnson, too.
Mm.
I forgot. And there was
Life
another.
Of Lotto.
There's another guy too. They brought it. I just don't remember.
He's
who
a special
it was.
Teamer. I think his name is Mike Adams.
Yep,
I could
yep
be wrong.
That's correct. Stephon Gilmore, 33 years old, good player still.
Yeah, he played well.
Probably looking for a decent contract.
Played well in Dallas last year. I wonder if he's at the point now where he realizes he's just going to be getting 1 year contracts the rest of his career. Though, if he's looking for a long term deal that does allow you to move some money around, he was pretty damn good last year for Dallas, all things considered. I mean, I don't think, and with the Colts too, the year before, it's weird. I mean, he wasn't defensive player of the year that long ago, but then you go back in time and you realize, oh yeah, that was 2018. Mm-hmm. So it was a hot minute.
So Stephon Gilmore, that's a yes. Sounds like that's
I will swarm on Stephon Gilmore.
We're going to swarm on Gilmore.
Okay. Yeah. Swarm. Not my first choice, but swarm.
Okay. Sean, what's your first choice?
Whoa, dude. Well, it's Steve Nelson.
Okay.
That's hell yeah.
He was next on my list.
Nelson Island.
Steven Nelson. So that's a swipe. That's a swipe.
I swipe right on Steven Nelson.
Yeah. I think he'll be affordable. He's younger than Stephon Gilmore. Less of a – because with Gilmore, the reason Gilmore's not my number one option at corner is because of the age. And it's like you could be signing up for the year he falls off a cliff.
Yeah. You know, the other guy I'm curious about is just because of what he said on the NFL Network. Has Patrick Peterson retired yet? But he's 33 years old. So is Gilmore.
He's on a team? I thought he signed somewhere.
Spotrac has him listed as a free agent. He said the Texans are a sneaky dark horse contender or trendy pick for the Super Bowl.
Sneaky and dark horse. Yeah, current free agent.
So okay. he retired at this point.
33 years old.
Any other corners that stood out to you guys? And we'll get to the offensive side of the ball later in the show.
Cool.
I think that's it, really. Defensive tackle. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know enough about defensive tackle play to pick any of these guys that are out there right now.
They signed that Tim Settle last week.
Tyre Tart is someone who has been mentioned.
I liked him last year.
You liked him? Well, he's available. Ex-Tight. Are you swarming on Tyre Tart?
Wait, ex-Texan.
You swarming on a Tart?
Yeah, I'd swarm on Tart. I'd bring Tart back. They picked him up on waivers last year. He was solid. He was a good player for Tennessee. Clearly, there were issues with Mike Vrabel, and they cut him. But
yes.
DeMeco brought him in. So maybe they had a bad experience with him, and that's why they're not interested in bringing him back at this point. But I bring him back.
How about 38-year-old Calais Campbell, who is an absolute monster of a human being. 6'8",
man,
282. He is 37 years old right now.
For one last ride on this job with Calais Campbell?
I got to say, I'd love him for one last ride because he's just a massive human being. And I want the Texans to have some absolute giant that scares everybody.
Okay.
I don't know if where you put him. Like, I don't know if you can move him to the interior. Lance probably knows better. But, like, you know, is he 3-tech? Is he 5-tech? Like, I honestly don't know. All I know is he's huge. And that's all I know about him.
Just in honor of Jeremy Branham, J.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah.
Swarm.
I'm swarming so hard. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm gonna have to
he's lost too much weight.
I'm gonna have to rebook my
now he's an edge.
My Canton trip. I don't want to have to go to Canton twice. I like the idea of Tom Brady and JJ Watt being there for one trip.
Man, I don't know. That sucks for JJ. He's gonna be so overshadowed.
Well, yeah, we're talking about the greatest of all time.
Of course. That's my point. Like it's bad time.
He's still gonna get love.
Speaking of swiping left and right, hey, Paul, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
A friend of mine proposed to his girlfriend. She said no. What should he do?
Break up with her.
Duh. Didn't we talk about this last week?
I think we did bring this
up. You gotta leave her, man. I'm sorry. You gotta tell him. He's gotta go.
It's funny. Like, I'm terrible at this, so you shouldn't be asking me for advice.
No. This is an easy one.
But do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. Paul. Don't do as I do. But, I had somebody last night who was like, on Saturday night, who was talking to me about his situationship that he's in with somebody who's got a kid, and she refuses to meet his family, and they've been together for a year and a half. And I was like, yo, dude, like, you're answering a lot of your own questions here, man. You seem just sad.
I feel like meeting the family a year and a half in is a long time.
A long time, especially if you're continually avoiding it. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think the problem for him is that he likes the kid.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. That
I don't envy that situation.
No, that's a complicating factor, that's for sure.
That is for sure. All right, in case you missed it, all the stuff we missed from over the weekend, there's so much tournament nonsense that happened. Maybe one of the best defensive players of all time retired over the weekend completely out of nowhere. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we go to break, though, I got to tell you guys about O Athletic. It is the new gym that I'm going to. It was just there this morning. It is an awesome, awesome gym. They have all these different classes that you can take. MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, weightlifting, agility. And they have personal training as well, of course. But they have everything. They can do the programming for whatever you want. Whether you want to be like me and lose weight, whether you want to gain muscle, lean out, whatever you want to do, they can do it for you at O Athletic. They have a sauna, steam room, endless pool. All the good stuff that you want at a gym is right there for you. It's over at 767 North Shepherd. When you go there, make sure you sign up. And when you do, there'll be this little tablet that you sign in. Click radio, and that way they can let you know. That way they know that Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Duh, turn on my microphone, Joe. What an idiot. We won't include this in case you missed it, but we have another lawsuit happening in college football or in college athletics.
Okay.
For the second time now, the ACC is being sued by one of their own members. Florida State is suing the ACC so they can try to get out of this awful contract that they are in. Clemson has joined the party and is suing the ACC. The ACC is going to die at some point.
Pour one out.
Who do you want in the Big 12? You want Duke and North Carolina?
I want Syracuse in the Big 12.
Why?
So I can watch their games.
That's such a weird... You want Houston to fly to Syracuse?
Yes.
What about education? What about the kids' education? They're going to fly to New York on a Wednesday? Have to be back in class on Thursday?
Yeah.
Come on, Paul.
It doesn't take 3 days to fly to New York.
I mean, they're already flying to Florida.
So. Yeah.
So? Isn't New York farther?
Listen, you get
the... Yeah, I mean, no, I'm saying both Houston is flying to Florida and Syracuse is also flying to Florida.
The Big 12 needs the New York City market, which is 3 hours away from Syracuse, New York.
It is interesting.
You just want to buy a house divided flag, Cougs and Syracuse, and hang it out in front of your...
That's exactly it. I want to have a half Syracuse, half Cougs jersey. Why are you judging me?
You can't.
Sorry, I believe in polyamory when it comes to fandom. You are shaming me.
No. That's
2024.
Okay. You can have your polyamory with your sports teams. You can't have the double jersey.
Why not?
It's not okay. The double jersey, unless you are a family member, should not exist.
You telling me it's not okay makes me want to do it.
Where's your Texans Patriots jersey?
Well, that's different.
Why?
That's different.
Where's your Astros
Mariners jersey? It still exists.
Yeah, it's in this closet.
But somewhere. We only wear it when the Mariners need to do something. Like we wore it when the Mariners were playing the Rangers last year, at the end of the year.
I don't know. That's not okay.
Why isn't it okay?
This is weird.
It's weird, but guess what, Joe?
Yeah.
You're hosting a show with the weird person, man.
I would sounding real stodgy, real...
Should I get a C.J. Stroud?
Is between a man and a team.
I'll see if I can find a half C.J. Stroud, half Caleb Williams jersey.
That would be pretty funny. That would be pretty funny. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Just for you guys.
I mean, it would be a good way for you to slowly leave that horrible narcotic that has had a huge grasp on your life.
They Chicago do ruin Bears. My life.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Are they the reason you're bald? I don't know.
I think they're part of it.
Probably.
I mean, the radio industry is a large part of it.
Definitely. Of why that's why my hair is gray.
I think it's why like 90% of radio hosts are losing their hair is because this industry is stressful, just to say the least.
Very.
You know, you just never know what's going to happen.
You really don't.
All right, let's get to In Case You Missed It. Do we have music for this show?
No, that's my fault. I forgot to put it into the run.
All right, we'll start Classic with the... Over the weekend all these tournament games that were happening, I don't watch low-level college basketball very often, but I do love the fact that a coach got fired over the weekend and then won the tournament, and that was Dan Monson. Here's what he had to say after the game and winning out of nowhere.
When Jim Harbaugh says, who's got it better than him, somebody needs to tell him Dan Monson.
Now, your guys showed up big this tournament, made some big wins. What's special about this group of young men?
You know, they're good people, you know, and that's what you got to start with. They have character. You know, we had a up and down year, but they came in here and they played for each other. We quit playing together and started playing for each other.
Now, Coach, you have an amazing resume, a great career. Where does this moment rank for you as a coach?
I got the 99 run at Gonzaga, but as Mark Fuchs said in a text, why don't we have a run at the first year and one in the last? But I don't think this is my last. I love coaching. I love teams. I need a new challenge. It's life. It's on to the next chapter.
He mentions in this answer, he says, like, it's good people.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, we're in it together. It's funny because he's clearly taking the most subtle shots he possibly can at the Long Beach State athletic department, I assume.
He also threw up the flag of, like, why not do it in the first year and then the last year? But it's not my last year. Like,
yeah.
I am available.
So he gets fired on Monday, wins the tournament on Saturday, makes the tournament for the first time for Long Beach State in forever. Why did they fire him? Coaching is, I don't think they're very good.
I mean, why would you fire him before the tournament? Let it play out and then do it.
It's not the weirdest firing. There's no audio with these, really, but we saw it in women's basketball last week, and then it happened in men's college basketball this week. These athletic directors and SIDs are firing their coaches before they walk to the podium.
Yeah.
And that is strange. I don't like that. Look, if you want to fire someone on site, leave them on the tarmac at an airport, whatever. But to fire someone and then to, like, put them in front of the media where then they have to tell the media, like, we're not rebuilding next year because I won't be here, that's bizarre.
I kind of like it because it means that chaos could happen. So you might actually get an epic rant at the podium from somebody who's probably very emotional after having just been canned. But for the most part, I think most of them know, yeah, I'm going to have to kind of bite my tongue here so that I potentially have another situation where I can get hired to. But I got to say, if you are canned and you're up at the podium, you have a tremendous opportunity in front of you right there.
Yeah.
To bring everyone down with
you. Or Dan Munson, and you go on a Disney movie run.
Yeah.
And you get to play Arizona in round one.
So are we taking Long Beach State over Arizona in the first round?
Hell,
is that,
yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
You know what? I'm going to do it probably.
Arizona lost to a 15 seed last year. Princeton.
Now, one thing we know about sports is that oftentimes when chaos happens, and when you need someone to tell you what's happening, the best person for the job is it's Kevin Harlan. And it happened again over the weekend.
My goodness. Oh, my gosh. They've got confetti falling right now. Confetti is falling on the floor. They're going to have to stop playing. We can't see our notes. The players can't work on this court. Confetti is everywhere. Somebody hit the wrong button.
Well, Kevin, to be honest with you, there's not a lot of this confetti that made it on the court. Most of it fell on us. But I think they were just trying to honor you, Kevin. You deserve confetti everywhere you go.
Yeah, right. Right. Our officials wisely stopped it. But that was an early ejection right there. Are they going to have to reload it now for the winner? I mean, my goodness.
Your winner might have to go confetti-less, at least in this part of the...
Well, Dan, you're not going to go confetti-less. You're collecting it like you're going to bring it home to your grandkids or something.
My grandkids would probably like this.
It's confetti.
I love Kevin Harlan. He's just always on his. Whenever there's someone that runs on the field, his calls are always the best. He's the best at that stuff.
I've collected confetti, though. I don't like Kevin Harlan shaming confetti collectors.
Yeah, I have confetti.
When the Astros won the World Series in 2022,
same.
I got a piece of confetti. I put it on the credential that I had for the World Series, and now it's framed.
Oh, mine's not framed. It's just like sitting amateur in my house.
In a Ziploc bag somewhere.
And it's just like, hey, don't on throw the that counter. Away. Yeah, that's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if we got thrown away already.
Whip it out of the bag.
Since then, it's probably gotten thrown
away.
Oh,
yeah, that thing's gone, yeah, dude.
Maybe it is gone. I need to look for it.
You got to find that
bag. I'm
pretty
confident I know where it's at, but I'm not totally sure.
You got to find the bag and open it up and just take a little sniff.
And then,
championship.
Rick Pitino.
Slick Rick.
He's always up to something. And he is not like a net.
Most people are mad about the NET, which is the new terminology for the NIT tournament. And you saw a bunch of blue blood schools who would have made it decide, no, we're too good for it, which I got to say, you guys are soft. Play in the actual tournament. But here's Rick Pitino just dumping on the entire premise of the NET.
Well, first of all, I think we all should probably never mention that word again because I think it's fraudulent. You know, my son was 25 in the net. And he was saying he wasn't in with 25 wins. So I think the Nets are something that shouldn't even be mentioned anymore. I think that we had a good strength of schedule. Ken Pom, why mention him? We were 26 in Ken Pom. So I don't know. It's we tried to play a tough schedule. We tried to do things the right way, and we didn't get in. But
got to stop doing things the right way, Rick. Get back to the roots.
I know there's so many teams that you have to put into this tournament, so they use Net and KenPom and these different things to try to help evaluate it. There's got to be a better way. And maybe it's just the fact that like the guy who did from the committee who did the interview on television on Sunday night, he sucked. Every time they – it's the same with the college football playoff. Every single time you ask these guys a question, they give you the most non-answers ever. And normally I'm okay with that. These are the one moments where I think you should have to defend why X team is in and Y team is out of the tournament. And they just don't do it.
It is strange that they don't, because you would think that they'd want to get people off their ass if they're – maybe getting second guessed, but I bet at the same time they're thinking to themselves, if I say anything, they're going to get mad at me. So what's the point?
Yeah, like what's the thing that he can say to St. John's for them to be like, you know what? Never mind. I know we're 26th in the Net, but it's all right that we're sitting at home. Like it's a little bit the idea that there's no great way to break up with someone. You just kind of have to do it. That's kind of what they have to do. It's like, hey. This is somewhat. They're also having to answer for a committee, so there's right. different opinions yeah. that they're having to narrow down into a minute and a half long answer on CBS. So yeah, it's not an enviable position. And also, I don't care about the bubble because be better.
Rick Pitino should have talked the Johnnies out of the tournament because of the amount of times he just dumped on them publicly.
That's the other thing. Sorry, we're not feeling bad for you when. 10 days ago, you're like, this team sucks.
He said the only way they were going to beat UConn is if UConn got COVID.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. Oh, he was saying it sarcastically, but I mean, again, you put that on a piece of paper.
It's also true.
It also is true. Yeah.
All right, the one thing we didn't get to in case you missed it, what we missed yesterday on this show. Yesterday was the two-year anniversary of maybe the greatest trade of all time in Texans history, when they traded away Deshaun Watson. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Love this stuff. It's smooth. It's refreshing. It's something that I like to have at the end of a long day to unwind, but also to unlock my inner cowboy. Pendleton Whiskey is made with the finest northern grains. It is cut with Mount Hood Glacier water, barrel-aged in American oak. You blend it all together, and you've got yourself a spirit that captures the spirit of the American West in every single bottle. Sure, the rodeo is behind us, but Pendleton Whiskey... with that, you can always find that inner cowboy. Pendleton Whiskey, it's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
2 years ago, yesterday, the Houston Texans traded away Deshaun Watson to the Cleveland Browns. And as of right now, this is their return, Paul. Will Anderson, Tank Dell, John Mechie, Christian Harris, Damian Pierce, Kenyon Green, Xavier Hutchinson, Thomas Booker, Brandon Hill, a 2024 second-round pick, I guess. And a 2024 third-round pick. Do you also get credit for the other second-round pick you got by trading back with the Vikings? Because it was the Browns pick that you moved?
This is where you do. Because like,
That's all these players were not directly drafted from. It was all moving and shaking. So I guess you get two second-round picks out of this. That's quite a lot.
It is a lot. You should list it as they got Will Anderson, Tank Dell, Christian Harris, 1 year of Damian Pierce, and a first and a third out of
it. The thing with Will Anderson's like, well, they traded up and they traded their own pick to trade.
Yeah, so I actually don't think Will Anderson really counts for this.
Like, No. You got to count him because it's the greatest trade ever. But at the same time,
it
was Deshaun Watson and a first round pick for all this.
Yeah. When you think back to this trade, it still surprised me how much they got for him because of everything that was going on. All the off-field stuff, In fact, he hadn't played in the year. It was just, I did not think the Texans were going to get this done in the way they did. And the fact that throughout that whole process, Deshaun Watson was choosing where he was going to go. In fact, remember when Deshaun Watson posted something on Twitter or Instagram and he had the number 4 Atlanta Falcons jersey? I don't know if you remember that, but they gave him a mock-up of his jersey when they thought it was going to be the Falcons. And it was like in the photo.
It was pretty close to a done deal with Atlanta, mm-hmm. from what I understand. And then the Browns said, screw it. We'll just give him all the guaranteed money because we are that desperate. And we know that he is not going to come. And, hey, credit to Nick Caserio for operating the way that he did, where with Watson's no trade clause, he legitimately could choose wherever he wanted to go. And also, shout out to the Cleveland Browns for offering not just what they offered, but also offering Watson that deal, because Caserio probably wouldn't have come out with such a massive W in being able to get that in return for a guy who now looks like a shell of himself, in addition to being a completely unlikable pariah in the eyes of most.
Yeah, and this trade, as good as it was to get those assets, the way that they flipped them and turned them into other things, just if you just the top three players in this deal that you end up getting back because you traded away Watson, Christian Harris, Will Anderson, Tank Dell, those are three players that are cornerstone pieces for the Houston Texans and any hope you have of making a Super Bowl run. Those three guys are so, so key in the future of the Texans. So you got to give that credit to Nick Caserio as well, just for not only executing the trade, but executing getting the right players after. Because really the only one that's been bad, the only player I think you'd want a take back on is Kenyon Green.
Right. And more so after this past season than his rookie year. I suppose there's still a chance he's able to figure it all out. But I'm pretty skeptical on that front. Caserio's done a really good job since taking over. I know some people hate to admit that, but he has. I don't know why they hate to admit it. Maybe they're just looking at him and thinking to themselves, well, what is it that he ever did in New England or something like that? But, I mean, to this point, maybe Caserio hasn't been as aggressive as some of the greedy people out there would like, but I feel like he's done a damn good job turning this thing over from an absolute joke of a franchise, rotating through coaches that were probably the only people that they could get to take the job, and then finally getting D'Amico Ryans and working the way that he has with him through 1 year. You feel pretty good about this alignment, if you will, that never happened during the Bill O'Brien era and was often frustrating with Rick Smith and Gary Kubiak before.
Yeah, if there's a pushback to Nick Caserio still today, my guess is it goes back to the connection that he had with Easterby. Like, he's not here if Jack's not here. The way the Watson stuff played out was very ugly. I mean, if you think back in time, Nick Caserio, the first question he was asked, I think, by John McClain at his introductory press conference was about Deshaun Watson's future as the quarterback of the Texans. Having three head coaches or four head coaches in four years, a lot was going on. Everything that kind of was going wrong went wrong. And the outcome is so much better than I ever thought it was going to be. That's where I do see the pushback with Nick Caserio. I never imagined that in 1 year they would flip it in the way that they did.
Yeah, I think a lot of the criticism was valid until September of 2023. And then it is all, and the moves he's made since then, invalid. Like, you can criticize, like, here and there, because nobody's perfect. But overall, Nick Caserio has done a great job in totality. And a lot of the questioning was, A, just the how long it kind of took to get things going under his tenure. But I think now, and the fact that the Texans deserved zero benefit of the doubt. If the Texans hired you, chances are you're terrible at your job. That's what everyone was operating under.
Yeah, for so long, for 2-3 years during the Caserio run, the only time the Texans got talked about on television was if it was a racist organization, the worst organization in the NFL, Colin Coward was dumping all over you for whatever reason.
Yeah, or Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. Like, there was not a positive moment ever before C.J. Stroud was drafted and Will Anderson was drafted. since Deshaun Watson got traded. Because even when Watson was traded, people thought it might have been the wrong decision.
I don't think there's a positive Texan. I don't think there's any positive Texans news since they're up against the Chiefs. I think from there, it was just like they traded DeAndre Hopkins for pennies on the dollar. And this is obviously before Nick Caserio. But it all goes into it of like, wait, so this trash organization that cannot figure anything out tampered with Nick Caserio to hire him, and we're supposed to just like, oh yeah, I'm sure things will go fine.
No one had the zag during these times, guys. They've hired three black head coaches in half a decade. No one had that. I mean,
not really, because they fired two of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what.
Not until D'Amico, I think we did it jokingly when they hired D'Amico Ryan.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, if you're trying to make it on a speak for your pizza kind of show, you got to have a Zach. You got to, in some way, shape, or form, like bring up the good times that happened over that stretch.
But the thing is, the D'Amico Ryan's, actually hiring D'Amico Ryan's was like the turning point of they're a competent NFL team.
Yes.
Yeah, because even leading up to that, it was Colin Cowherd going on his radio and TV show saying, embarrassing you because what he heard from Sean Payton.
Yeah.
So even leading up to D'Amico Ryan's, it was not great.
And that draft was the Kenyon Green and Derek Stingley draft, and Derek Stingley's rookie year was not good.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. Like, it was, again, we can all look back now and be like, of course, Nick Caserio, grand plan, all these moves worked out. But it's like, if you just take snapshots of what it was like in the moment, it was some dark times up until C.J. Stroud proved that he was an awesome football player.
You're probably excited for a second that, like, hey, maybe Davis Mills has a future from 2021 to 2022. And they gave two awesome retirement packages out to black coaches.
Those are the two
moments of that 3-year period.
Because when you trade away Deshaun Watson, you think, well, it's been, it was 20 years of having an NFL franchise without a franchise quarterback until you draft Deshaun Watson. Then you get him for 3 years. And then
he's like, not only does he want out, he's also like a giant piece of crap.
Yeah, and then he's gone. And then so you're like, well, it took them 15 years to find the first franchise quarterback. It's taken some teams decades to find a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, like the Bears.
Yeah, their whole existence.
Yeah, what are the chances? It's so you really
first
do have
Luckman.
You really do have to talk yourself into like, well, you know, if Davis Mills as a 3rd-round pick can be solid, that gives you something to build on. It's like actually just draft C.J. Stroud and he's awesome.
Maybe that's why I was frustrated with the Texans, because the Mills Mafia made me want to puke.
Oh, they were a little bit much.
Like, the fact that anyone tried to justify the fact he'd be a good quarterback in the NFL
blows my
mind.
Could throw it through the roof of NRG Stadium. Yeah.
All right, our Astros countdown continues next. We're single digits away from opening day. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loaded Red Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.